You're listening to the Reverse Stick, the Global Hockey Podcast. It's time now for our feature interview, and with the current hockey series open happening in Lusada, we thought we'd catch up with someone who might be involved there, but we also thought we'd share with you an excellent hockey story. We love them here on the Reverse Stick, and it was great pleasure we introduced to you Carl Ramage from the Gibraltar Hockey Association. Welcome, Carl.
Good morning, John. Now, thank you for having me.
I'm really looking forward to speaking to you, actually. You're in Lusada at the moment as part of the Hockey Series Open. You're there as a player, but you're also the president of the Gibraltar Hockey Association.
Yeah, I am indeed. It's a tough one to figure out sometimes, and I'm wearing various caps at the same time. But I'm here as a player, really focusing on what we have to do on the pitch rather than off it.
Perhaps to start with, Carl, we can give people an idea of, the sort of history of hockey in Gibraltar, how you organise yourselves as well.
Yeah, hockey is a very popular sport in Gibraltar. We've played it since 1940s, thereabouts, and it's been very much alive ever since. We're a very small federation, association, whatever you want to call us. Run by a small group of volunteers, so nobody's full time on our program. Everything is done on a voluntary basis. We have obviously a club system where people get involved with their clubs, but then also we have the national sides, as you can see, competing out here in Lusada.
How many players have you got there? According to your website, there's about 250 of both men and women.
Yeah, there's probably a bit more than that. But the reality is the players that you can pick from for the national side, we're probably talking maybe 30, 35 of players that would be eligible to represent the national side.
Look, it's fascinating that the Gibraltar story is what, about 30 to 40,000 people living in Gibraltar at the moment?
Yep, there's about a population of 32,000.
So, where do you find the space to play the game?
There's one full size, obviously, water based pitch, and that has a small training pitch next to it as well. And everybody shares that. It's a community pitch, so everybody shares it. We don't pay to use it, which is brilliant. And all our clubs and national teams share that pitch, and we've been doing just fine for the last sort of, I think, 13, 14 years since we've had that water based pitch. So
now, from
no complaints there.
What may seem to be a small pool of players, you've certainly had some achievements over the years. You've been to the European national finals European finals a couple of times, and a world ranking of 66 for the men. That tends to signify that you've got a far larger hockey community than you do.
Yeah, I mean, traditionally we've done well in major tournaments. In fact, our world ranking is probably not realistic either. I think if you may allow me to say, we probably should be higher up. Problem is, we missed the World League a few years ago. We didn't enter a team, and so we significantly dropped down the rankings in the last 2 years. But that's something we're trying to rectify by coming out here and doing our best. But yeah, we've always overachieved, and historically we've had teams certainly at club level in what used to be the old A division, playing against the likes of the German champions and what have you. In recent years, it's fair to say that that's changed a bit, because I think our sport has become much more professional, and the gap between the sort of top sides and the more amateurs has really widened, I think, in the last few years.
Where do you draw your players from, Carl? Is it locals, or is there a lot of expats who are finding themselves in Gibraltar?
Locals. Some of our clubs will draw on expats, but certainly, for the national side, all of our players are sort of born and bred in Gibraltar. The FIH rules are quite strict in that sense. You need to have a passport to be able to play for your country, from that country. And it's not easy to get a passport in Gibraltar. So whereas in the past, for example, we've played the likes of, no disrespect, we've played the likes of Azerbaijan, who've had six former Pakistani Olympians in their side. We've never been able to draw on that.
And what sort of mix of people are we talking about? I imagine Gibraltar is a fairly multicultural sort of place.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, there's a lot of, if we talk about religion, the main religion is Roman Catholic, but we have a lot of a huge Jewish community, we've got a huge Muslim community, and everybody gets along just fine. So it's very, very multicultural, absolutely.
And just as a side note, it's one of the part of the pillars of Hercules in the ancient world. It must be an amazing place as well.
Oh, yes, it's absolutely beautiful. The legend goes that Hercules separated the pillars himself. So we're on the one side. I mean, on a clear day we can see well into Morocco and Africa from our side of the fence, let's call it. So it's pretty amazing. We can see three countries and two continents from our small place.
Well, you can have a swim in the Mediterranean on one side and a swim in the Atlantic on the other.
Absolutely. We are very lucky indeed. Mind you guys can't complain either. You've got lovely beaches out there as well. So.
Yeah, we've got plenty of them, that's for sure. And, you know, you guys have actually shown the strength of Hercules in some ways with the you know, I'm staggered by the resources that you have at your disposal and the performances you've been putting in.
Yeah, it's... I think there's something to be said for just sort of 18 guys just playing their hearts out for the shirt. You know, none of these, I mean, all these guys over here have had to pay their own way to get here.
Wow.
You know, we get some funding from our government, and we're obviously grateful for that. But the rest we have to fund ourselves, whether it be through some fundraising activities or player sponsorships or paying it out of your own pocket. I mean, you know, so when it comes to putting on the shirts, all these guys are stepping out onto the pitch and they're doing it for that reason and that reason only. There's no other interests. So when you got 18 guys who are willing to do that, it makes it a lot easier to defend those colours.
I think a lot of coaches of club level should hear people talk like that more, Carl. That's exactly right. You've also, not just on the playing field though, you've provided a lot of international umpires and managers, etc., across the years as well. You know, you've been performing across the whole hockey spectrum.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've got Nathan Stagno out here, who obviously top umpire, was voted best umpire in the world, umpire in the World Cup final. So the guy knows his hockey inside out. He's performing the role of team manager out here, and he's been a great help to the management and coaching team. Great insight into major events and umpires thinking, and he's really got the players thinking in other ways in training. And obviously having the one of the best umpires in the world umpiring your training sessions is amazing as well. We can't complain.
No. Carl, did you still have any affiliation with England hockey?
Not particularly. I mean, we've obviously got a very good relationship with England hockey, but there's no affiliation as such, no. I mean, we come fully under the European Hockey Federation in our own rights, and within that we also come under the FIH, which is obviously why we're here.
And speaking of Euro hockey, you won the Club Challenge 2, didn't you, in 2017?
We got to the final.
Ah.
And in fact, we got to the final in 2017 and 2018. My club, when I say we, my club Grammarians, missed out on promotion in the shootout 2 years running.
Oh no, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it was really heartbreaking. But hey, that's hockey.
How is your club scene there? You mentioned your club. How many teams do you have competing?
So we've got, I think, four men's clubs at the moment, and I think three ladies' clubs, and they all have junior teams. And certainly for my club, who are currently the sort of top ranked team in Gibraltar, we rely heavily on going across the border into Spain to play a lot of friendly matches, just to keep the guys going.
And what about the women's side of things? How's that travelling?
The women's side, in terms of club hockey, has really picked up in the last few years. We've got a lot of young sort of 16, 17, 18 year old girls involved in hockey in the last few years. The flip side to that is that for the first time next year, we've entered a women's national team in the European Championships. We've never had a female fully-fledged national side competing, so that's just credit to the hard work that the ladies have put in the last few years.
Oh, that is great. That's fantastic. What about yourself, Carl? What's your hockey journey?
Well, I've been playing ever since I can remember. My dad used to play, my granddad used to play, so it's very much, as you guys know, hockey is very much a family affair. I've been very lucky. I've been able to play with my two brothers. So there's three Ramage, as we say, three Ramages in the team for the last, I don't know how many years, certainly at club level. But I've also been able to play with my really good friends. I went to uni, played out at uni for a few years, and then came back and kept playing in Gibraltar. At the same time, I've done all my coaching certificates and courses. I just recently qualified as a level 3 FIH coach after a 2-year program with the Euro Hockey. So that's really where I'm heading. I'm going to be 35 next year. Tournaments at home will probably be time to say goodbye, and then I'm really planning on stepping into coaching full time.
And you've got some promising juniors coming up to pinch your spot too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've got two young guys here playing in midfield, Nicholas Pilcher and Julian Lopez, who are doing an absolutely great job. In fact, they've been the ones that have come in and I've said, right, I think next year might be time for me to say goodbye. I mean, I think I'm leaving the ship in good hands with these two, put it that way.
Now, let's take a look at the tournament at the moment, the Hockey Series Open in Lasada. It's one game under your belt already. Not a good result for you guys, being beaten 5-0 by Russia. What are your expectations heading into this tournament?
I think for us, it's we are very much, without disrespecting this tournament, we are building for next year. We've got a European nations at home, and that is really where we want to excel. But we've come out here. We're not just here to make up numbers. We gave Russia a game yesterday for three quarters. We were 2-0 down going into the last quarter. Had chances against a team that's ranked sort of 40 places above us in the world ranking. So, I mean, they were definitely in the game, put it that way. We've got Belarus today. We've got Scotland tomorrow. So two very tough matches coming up. And then we've got Portugal and Turkey on the last 2 days. You know, we've played these teams in the past, and we go into them always looking to try and get something out of it. We've got to be realistic about what we can achieve against the likes of Scotland. We appreciate they are, you know, in fact, Scotland have moved up to top level status at European level now, so they're a top side at the moment. So we're realistic about what we have to do. But certainly in respect of the other matches, we've come here to do as well as we can. Having said that, and this is something that I always say, for me, success is not measured by results. The success is in the process. We've worked hard all summer. We've come a long way in the last few years. And for me, if I talk with my president's cap on now, we're already being successful.
Oh, look, we only have to look at results across the hockey globe in the last few weeks, and world rankings sometimes don't necessarily mean that much.
No. Hockey's a beautiful sport in that way. And sometimes a lot of unexpected things can happen.
Oh, absolutely. How much international competition do you actually get? You talk about having to play club games against Portuguese sides to get some hockey in, you know. At the international level, how often are you guys getting to play?
Well, that's a bit unfortunate for us. We are only able to play at this stage in the official FIH and EHF events. So that means we get very, very little exposure to official international hockey. Yes, we do play a lot of friendly matches with teams that may come and visit. But in terms of exposure, it's very, very limited. So for example, Gareth Henwood, who's our striker at this tournament, he's 36, I think he is, if he doesn't mind me saying. he's only got 40 caps. He's been playing for Gibraltar since he was 15, 16. So to put it in context, if he was anywhere else in the world, he'd probably have 300 caps.
Yeah, easily.
About 37, 38 caps. Again, I would probably be on 200 caps if I was anywhere else in the world. So it's unfortunate, but, you know, it is what it is. We just have to deal with it, make use of what we've got, and go with it.
So how long have you been playing international hockey?
I played my first match when I was 16, just turning 17. In and out of the side until I was 19, I think, my memory serves me correct. And then I've pretty much been in the side since then.
Oh, that's...
So that's probably 16 years playing for the national side.
That's a pretty good career, Cal. That's so bad.
Yeah, I think when you get towards the end of your career like I am now, you know, is when you really start to appreciate, you know, what you've done and where you've been. You don't appreciate it when you're 19, 20, 21. You're sort of caught up in the moment.
So you've got Belarus coming up a bit later today, don't you? What are the guys doing before the game? How do you guys prepare?
Well, it's just gone 8:30 in the morning here, so we're just having a bit of breakfast now. We'll go for a walk, just to sort of mobilize a bit. Then we'll have some downtime just to put our feet up, you know, relax, get your snacks, your whatever you want in, hydrate. We'll then have a chat about the game for about maybe 30, 35 minutes, where we'll go through what we expect of the game, how we're going to play, just really set out the game plan. Basically, hopefully catch a few clips from yesterday's games. We've got the video. They relax a bit more, and then we're off to the pitch. And then from there, it's just sort of music on and just get pumped and get out there and play, basically.
And what have you got playing in the earphones?
Oh, my God. The youngsters are driving us crazy. You know? I mean, one of our players put on the Spice Girls yesterday on the bus. It was just shocking, I tell you. We had to stop it. We had to get rid of the speaker.
You want to be a good...
These youngsters, their taste in music is absolutely awful.
You want to be a good player if you're pumping out the Spice Girls.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, we were just as shocked as you are. It was unbelievable, I tell you.
Oh, dear. Oh, look, good luck for today and for the rest of the tournament. I mean, have you got a lot of support following you there?
No, we've got a couple of family members who've come out here. Very grateful for that. There's about 5 or 6 of the players' families have come out here. So always grateful to support. My wife's come out here as well. She's actually helping out with the video. You know, it's going to make use of everything we got here. So always grateful for the support that we get.
Look, it's what the game's really all about. It's, you know, sometimes I wonder if all this high performance stuff doesn't get in the way of what the true nature of the sport is.
No, that's exactly it. I always say that's why I said before, success is not in results. I mean, you've got guys out here with their families, you know, their kids coming out to watch. That's what our sport is all about, and I hope that really continues for a long time.
So, what's next for you guys after Lusada?
We'll have a couple of weeks break, get the legs back in order, and then we'll start our club season probably end of September, beginning of October. And then really the clubs will be preparing for their challenges and we don't know if that's going to be in Easter or sort of June time. You know, with the FIH Pro League, we're not sure where the calendar's going to fall this year. But once that's clear, then we'll plan the club calendar, and then once the club calendar sorted, we'll sort out the national calendar, and that really is the main focus certainly for the association next year, is to really prepare for the nations tournament at home in end of July.
Okay, is there any chance you guys could sneak through from this tournament? You know, could you pinch a couple of wins? Is that enough to get you through?
The top two will qualify for the next round of the Pro League from here. Very, very, very difficult. You know, we're talking about Russia and Scotland. Mm. No disrespect to the other teams here. But from what I saw yesterday, those two are really a level above everyone else here. That said, we spoke about it before. You know, hockey's is a beautiful game, and you never know what can happen. To be fair to you, every team I saw yesterday, I think including us, plays hockey. There's no one here who you say, you know, what are they doing here? It wasn't the case at all. So it makes for an interesting event.
Oh, look, all the best with it. And I hope you pinch a couple of wins. It'd be great to see you guys get on the scoreboard there and, with any luck, boost that ranking up a little bit.
Well, that's the plan. We appreciate that, but yep, that's the plan.
Look, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Carl. We're going to keep our eye on the fortunes of Gibraltar Hockey, and if you ever need us to pass anything on to the greater hockey community, let us know.
Thank you, John. We really, really appreciate it. It's been great to talk to you.